Hey everyone, welcome back to the Dealing with Life Stuff podcast. My name is Fernando Ceballos.
And I'm Randy Strug.
And welcome to the episode. Mm-hmm. I was curious, you're talking about the professor side. Mm-hmm. What's harder, to give people tough love or to be their cheerleader?
I don't know. It's some of both. I mean, I think that there are definitely times, I mean, teaching is exhausting.
Yeah.
It is an emotionally exhausting thing.
I've heard you talk about your students.
I love
several
it.
Times.
I mean,
yeah.
I absolutely love it. And
you have to deal with everything.
I have to deal with everything. Yeah. And I, you know, there are students, I don't know what's harder because there are.
And it's harder for you because when you really care about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really care. Like, you want to try and fix everything.
Right. Well, right. Because you hear me talking about it all the time. And I get really.
But I'm like that with coaching. And like.
I get really frustrated with students that I know have higher potential.
Yeah.
And I'm like. And I do. You know, if I get emails from students and I'm like, I know that you are so much better than this. You know, this is not okay. But then there's also students that are struggling from the get-go. And so any little sign of progress is a huge victory for them. And I get really, and it's, I think for me, it's almost had to be over my years of teaching college, I've had to really go from caring about literally everything to picking the things to really invest myself in. Not students to invest myself in, but just, I can't, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. And I've had to kind of learn how to try to be generally 100% there for my students, but there is a point at which it's like, I cannot do this for you.
Like, once you guys get to the level that both of you are at, I think the two things that you see the most, and I'm generalizing here, is probably self-sabotage or just the idea of I'm not enough.
Yes. And there are students that I know, I can just sense it. And I think you kind of, I mean, I'm still obviously working at this, but you develop as a teacher kind of a sense of a student who is self-sabotaging that is absolutely capable. And I have students that come in that are doing pretty well. You know, they're getting a B. They didn't read music before they came in, and they're in a music theory class with me, and they're getting a B. And like, they're working really hard, and they're coming to all my office hours, and I'm working with them and all of that. And they still are just completely just stressed out, bawling every time I see them, you know, and I'm like, look, you know, it's you're doing great, you know, and they just need to be reminded that they're doing great. And then there's other students that are getting a certain grade, and it's fine, and they're going to pass the class, but they're so smart, they should, you know, they're not applying themselves, and I 100% know that. And it's for them, I think a lot of times it's, I know you can do better. You know you can do better. I see how intelligent you are.
Yeah.
And I think they need to know that. Like,
no.
I know how intelligent you are.
For sure.
That's
important.
Don't have
you
that
need
love
reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
You need reassurance when you're in something that is so competitive and you have to work so hard at something.
Right.
You need praise, correct praise. Like, you need that reassurance.
Yeah, and to that point, like, I was one of those kids. Like, I was just, I happened to be good at a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And no one was there to tell me, like, hey, what the fuck? Why aren't you like working hard? Like, like, you should get your shit together and like put some effort into this. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I had a history professor who was like, look, man, like, it doesn't matter if you make an A in this class or not. It doesn't define who you are.
Right.
But the effort you put in is going to define who you are. And if you don't develop intellectual self-reliance, you will be useless as a human being. And I was like,
that's well, and I have, you know, because I teach private lessons and then I also teach college classes. Right. So I have this really interesting diverse kind of type of teaching that I do, but with my private students in particular, I feel like it's some of them, and I just have to learn them because some of them need me to be hard on them. I have students that I can say what would sound like really mean things to, not mean to just cut them down, but like, look, I am really disappointed in you this week.
Everyone's different.
You did
though.
Not.
Some people need
and it's
you
okay
to be hard on them. Some people need you to comfort them.
And I think
them,
that's part of being a good teacher. You have to learn how to read that in a student. And I mean, obviously I'm still learning it. I haven't accomplished it, but a point at which some students are not, they don't take them, they're so hard on themselves that if I always give them compliments, they don't believe me.
Yeah.
I'm like
they're
that.
Like,
well, I'm like
you
that.
Are absolutely
oh
like
I'm
that.
100%
like, oh,
that.
Right,
like,
whatever, sure, you sound like, whatever.
Yeah, and
okay.
it's not black and white either, because like, some days I'm like, man, I just could use some emotional support. Cause like when I was in high school, like my dad was in and out of the hospital. It was like, but I was putting on this facade of just being like, no, I'm full. Everything's fine. And like, I could have used the emotional support, but at the same time, there were some days where I was like, I needed someone to put me in my place and check my shit and be like, hey, you're not that good. You need to get, you need to work harder. So
It's
balance.
It is. It's that's, I think that's why it's exhausting. I mean, I get to the end of a lot of days and you see me like, just like, I'm so tired.
Well, I know that like there are times you and I have played Dungeons and Dragons after you've taught and you're just like, I've got like an hour in
it. That shit is super
Well, it's emotionally exhausting.
It is emotionally exhausting. And so especially if I'm invested with a student and they're struggling, you know, and this year has really brought that out.
I'd be sure that some of your private lessons, some of them are paying them themselves and some of them are, I guess their families are paying for them.
So for the most part,
I guess two-part question there for both of you is like, I'm curious, the scrappy ones that are having to raise the money themselves, do you find that they're more committed?
In my like coaching, in the gym, the younger people, they in there for the right reasons at first? I don't think so, but but
I think some of both. Like I really recognize, and I am, most of the district that I teach private lessons in is a pretty well-to-do district, and so most of the students, the large majority of the students, their parents are covering private lessons. But this school also does have a fund for scholarship and things for the ones that are, you know, so it's a district that's doing well in that regard. But I do have a few that are working and paying for their own lessons, and in some ways I would say yes, they are so invested in them because they're paying for them, and you know, but they also are so stressed out that I think they're at a disadvantage. I mean, it's really made me recognize a lot of privilege and a lot of, you know, a lot of things too, because it's, they're so stressed out because they're trying to do all the things. And then they're also trying to pay for their own private lessons. And they're trying to make sure that I get paid and that they're practicing and that I'm happy with them, but that they're also getting good grades. And it's, it adds an element that, you know, is really interesting for me to watch in a, you know, kind of in a vacuum of the level of stress that that adds. And I, you know, my parents helped a lot. You know, my parents did all, if you know our podcast, my, you know, I grew up in a very interesting way and I don't agree with most of what my parents did.
Yeah, check out the Heavy Flow podcast. Plug.
Yes. Our last episode, we talk about my upbringing a lot, but,
link in bio.
My parents did a lot of things that I find to be not good, but they did, you know, they helped us, but also made us contribute. And I, you know, I worked and contributed towards my own instruments when I needed to buy new instruments and, you know, that kind of thing, but they made it possible. And I do really appreciate that.
But we are who we are because of the way we grew up, right? So like, is there things that you wish could have changed a little bit and you still are the person you are today?
Oh, 100%. You know, and that's a tough question. I think this goes to what we were talking about actually when we were recording a podcast with my brother is, I mean, I think we both, Macy and I both came from very different backgrounds, but backgrounds
My parents sheltered me a lot, like really tried to like protect me. And so like it was almost like a hard thing to like come to terms with, like with people and friends, like how could people be this awful? You know,
because you're if I'm correct, they kind of tried to shelter you from the bad sides of the world, right?
Yeah And they really like, I mean, I can't complain about my life, like they gave us everything we wanted, and you know, and I mean, they did a lot for us, and like my mom never wanted me to work full-time in college, like she wanted me to focus on school, like. And I wanted to do it, you know, and she always told me, like, no, I want you to focus on, like, what's important, you know? And I get that, and I appreciate that, but I wish I also could, like, understand, like, what it's like to actually go through some shit.
Because parenting is a shit show. I mean, there is no book on, like, this is how you do it.
Well, we've
talked
also, about that,
like, about your experience, too, as a kid. Like, oh, I would never want this for my child, right? And so you try to learn from these things that, like, your parents may have put you through. I know my parents are really strict with my mom.
That's something we've talked about a lot, is the kind of generational things. And we've talked about, like, if we ever had kids someday, like, what would our, you know, be like based on our upbringing? Because I think that my mom was raised very different, and she went very hard to the conservative Christian cult side. And I know that it came from a place of wanting us to experience something different than what she experienced, but it went to an extremely damaging, almost abusive place. But I go so far the other direction that I sometimes worry about when I'm a mom, am I going to have enough structure for my kids? Because I don't want to be as controlling. And
but
I,
like you were saying earlier, like we can focus on what kid do we want to develop. It's more of like just being in the process, being the moment, and just do everything that you can today. Because they were so focused on like, I want to make a perfect human being later on. Like,
right.
it doesn't do anything
yeah.
for us.
Yeah. Right. Well, and to a point too, I also feel like not being prepared to be a parent actually ends up making you a good parent, because if you let your kid have the freedom to kind of figure shit out and put their own life together, they're going to be a more successful human being.
Right.
At the end.
I agree with that.
And like,
for sure.
Like I, you know, obviously I went through the grief of having my parents die, but I'm also really grateful for it because it forced me to figure out who I wanted to be and who I was going to become as an adult. And I'm grateful that I had that adversity to deal with because I'm very proud of the man I became.
Well, I say this about
adversity
you all the time.
Is really important.
Adversity is really important.
The best skill that you can have as a parent, I'm not a parent, but like self-awareness and perspective are probably the best skills that you can have or traits as a parent. Because I mean, I grew up as a kid, like knocking on doors, 7 years old, trying to pay the bills, right? Like if I don't help my mom sell tacos in the door to door, we don't pay the bills. It's so like early on, I'm like, I'm just this poor kid knocking on doors. Rather than now, as a perspective, I'm like, you know what? I was a young entrepreneur, you know, doing
some
stuff. My mom taught me some stuff. But it all goes back to perspective, because my mom always taught us, like, I may be working 2-3 jobs, but this is for you guys to be able to make it out. And I think if she never gave me that perspective, I'd be super bitter to this day. Like, you never gave me anything growing up. And that's bullshit, because she worked really, really hard to give us what she could.
She gave you work ethic, which is more important than
my
any
mom was a single mom, so I think that's why
God bless her.
I'm so relentless and like more like fuck you, like I'm gonna do what I want, you know, because she's a very independent woman and she's like a boss lady. Yeah.
She is. She's the
she
best.
Really is. Yeah. She really is.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I try really. This is an ongoing thing for me that I work out with a lot with my therapist. But, you know, I don't think that my parents were all bad. But I also, it's hard for me to balance acknowledging the things that were extremely damaging and abusive and that I, you know, that affect me, and balancing them with the things that weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And then deciding the level of that relationship now, you know, I mean, that's a difficult thing. But I don't think, you know, I think that at the end of the day, you know, parents do the best they can, and I can't, you know, I'm sure my kids will have a laundry list of the ways I fucked them up.
One of the biggest things that we push in this podcast is like the idea of, you know, owning the fact that this is your life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we can be the victim all we want, but at the end of the day, like if we don't step up to make the changes that we want to see, like everything that happened in the past isn't going to do anything for us for our future.
Right. And I want to expand on that, because I know Hannah's been through a lot in this last year, and like having seen everything you've gone through, like I'm just so impressed with the character that you've shown in yourself, and just like because I've seen the hell you went through, and like I'm so proud of you as your friend, and I'm so happy to like see you and Macy just, you know, kicking
That's
ass
so
together.
Sweet. Yeah. Well, I was about to say the same thing about you earlier, which is that I tell people all the time when I like tell them about you or introduce you that I forget how young you are. You're so much younger than me. And I forget all the time because I mean, you've lived a lot of life and you've really bounced back from a lot of things. And
thank you. Yeah.
So this was our little love fest.
You know? Yeah,
there's two ways you could have gone, you know, two ways you could go.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I literally remember the day I found my mom dead. I remember thinking that exact thing. I thought I could literally either let this make me or break me.
Yeah.
And I was determined to not let it break me. And I was like, this is the path I have to take. Doesn't matter what the cost is. Mm-hmm. This is how I have to go about life now.
Well, it's one of the most impressive things about you.
Oh, thank you.
That, yeah.
I appreciate
it. For sure.
Yeah, death does something very special to the person, I feel like.
Yeah.
It makes you wake up and realize that, you know, life
wake up's
isn't
a good word.
Yeah.
Wake up's a good word. Because I'll admit, like, I was the least responsible. I was a lazy piece of shit growing up. And then, like, April 30th, 2014 was when I was like, oh, I have to be an adult now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just adopted responsibility in a way that I'd never had it before. Like, I literally changed who I was overnight. Mm-hmm. It was.
I think you are always who you are supposed to be. But I think there's certain things that'll bring out more of, like, you know, what you're what you're destined to be, and you have a choice of either taking it or not.
So to say about money, right? If you're an asshole, you get more money, you're going to be a bigger asshole.
Right.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, it's like the whole thing, like, power doesn't always corrupt, but power always reveals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, who are you really going to be? You know, you have this opportunity. Who are you going to, what are you going to do with it? You know?
Yeah, for sure.
But,
that's true.
Yeah. So should we change the topic? Let's talk about something.
Little lighter before
so
we end.
Fernando and I are like super about books. And Macy, I saw you read a fair bit from what I can tell from the book.
I read a lot of studies. Like scientific. I'm really into scientific shit.
Yeah, reads all these scientific studies
like
and
papers,
like sports performance books and stuff. And then she's like, do you think I'm smart? Do you think I'm smart? I don't think I'm very smart.
I don't really
and
novels.
I'm like, I read like fiction novels.
Yeah.
I'm really into shit that fiction. I feel like I could like actually like experiment with myself. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I know I loaned you a book that I'm hoping you're reading right now.
I am very slowly because I am in the heat of grading right now. But yes,
the Gulag
slowly.
Archipelago.
Oh, yeah, I have started it.
Yeah,
yes.
I have like 60 pages left of volume 3. And it's like that book has required more fortitude of me than any other book I've ever read.
I'm going very slowly, I am working with it.
There's a movie coming out, don't worry.
Is there really?
No, there's not.
Oh, God, I was going to say.
But
really?
That's not the movie you want to make.
No.
Yeah, I have never cried as much reading a book as I have that whole book. Like, it's just so brutal. But I think those books are the good books to read because it really challenges your perspective of the world and challenges you to, like, to your point, like your mom sheltered you. It's like, well, you need to understand what people are really capable of so you can know the difference between good and bad.
Instead of learning the hard way.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I read avidly growing up, but I always read, I'm very into historical fiction. That's kind of my, and I like really good historical fiction that has a lot of serious history in it, but that is also fiction.
I know what your Christmas gift
the
is
devil
be.
And something
really?
Mm-hmm. Like, Devil in the White Street.
Yeah
I'm that's always been kind of my, in fact Macy and I were just talking about this the other day, but I grew up kind of big family and I didn't have a lot of privacy or a lot of time to myself. So what I had, my favorite time of day was when I would go to bed and I had a little lamp, you know, that like clipped onto my bed.
When you were in the bathroom.
Oh, stop. that's just true.
Reading on the toilet.
I had no privacy.
Okay, so which one is it? Is it the lamp by your bed or is it?
It's bowl. Okay.
Yeah, okay. Queen of the pot.
Babe, I told you that with trust.
We all read on the shitter.
but I also would read late into the night because it was everybody was asleep and I thought it was super cool to be like, I'm just going to stay up. So cool. I would pretend like I went to bed and then I would stay up really late reading.
So
like
edgy.
The nerd
You're
that
so
I am.
Edgy.
I was the edgiest. I was not sneaking out. I was just fucking reading until 2 a.m.
I was sneaking out.
Oh my God, I know.
I would like put my clothes on and put PJs over it like in case I got caught.
So that was where your fighting career started. You were running illegal fight ring.
Yeah, 100%.
Number one rules.
Underground fighting.
We don't talk about it.
Rich white people were like betting on us and shit.
The burbs.
Started. Yeah.
But yeah, so I really liked historical fiction. I mean, my favorite series is Outlander, honestly. I've read it twice. There's excellent. She researched every one of those books for years.
That's awesome. I love that.
And so there's all of this great Scottish history in it and stuff, but it's also fiction and, you know, it's a really good series now too, but the books are.
Wait, isn't that like a Netflix?
Now it's been turned into a show, but I've been reading.
That's
the
sign it's a good book.
It's honestly, the show is pretty good too. It just isn't as usual. I mean, they have had to leave out the writing in the books is exceptionally good.
Yeah, that's how I feel about The Witcher right now. I love The Witcher. I watched the first season on Netflix and I immediately read all the books because I was just so entranced by it. And I love the books to death. The show is still really fun. It's going in a different direction, but I'm okay with it because
I've seen the first season of The Witcher. I had a hard time following it at first.
Yeah, well, so they crammed like three books.
You mean like Game of Thrones?
Yes, that's all. I
gotta rewatch that shit.
So with The Witcher, I think they crammed three books into one. So it was just a lot that they.
I was just there was
in.
So much flashing forward and back, and I'm a very I'm really bad about this, but I'm a very multitasker while I watch TV sometimes, I had to be like okay.
I remember us watching Game of Thrones
watching.
Together.
I am only watching.
Am I watching the past? The current?
Yeah,
the present?
I couldn't figure it out. But yes, we. God, we did. Remember our Game of Thrones finale one?
Yeah.
Right? Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That was a horrible finale.
Yeah.
It was.
So disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sad.
We tried to start the whole series again, and then we gave up on it again. It's a good series. I really liked it till the last season, but.
What are y'all watching right now?
Do you really want to know?
Yes.
Okay. We're not proud of this, but.
Jersey Shore.
Oh no, no.
It might be worse.
It's worse. Quarantine really brought out the trashy television side of us, but I'm going to give a plug for it because it actually was really good for our relationship. We started watching a lot of very trashy reality TV.
I wouldn't say it's trashy.
I know
Love
one
is
of the-
Blind. Love is Blind. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Married at First Sight
has been our thing lately.
And you were watching 90 Day Fiancé.
We were
watching that. I remember that.
That was probably the lowest point.
Yeah, that was our low point. But honestly, Married at First Sight, they have great counselors on there. And we often pause it to discuss the relationships, what they're doing wrong, what we would prefer in our relationship.
It's like therapy.
It's like therapy, you know? No, I mean, we watch a lot of movies and stuff. I don't know that we've watched a lot of shows lately, but we are still in Married at First Sight because it's so weird.
I've never watched
it. I've never seen it. Yeah.
It's so weird.
These two people that I've never met that they take like...
experts and they match up their personalities and their interests and everything, who should technically
then they meet
work
at the altar and get married
Wow, shit. And that's then they like track them for like 4 or 6 months.
That's actually pretty interesting.
And admit. Then they see how it's going because on paper they're supposed to be an excellent match. I'm telling you, it's actually really interesting. It's really interesting.
That is interesting.
We're starting to think though this season that they're intentionally matching some people up that aren't good.
Yeah,
so they have a more interesting show.
Gotcha.
Because there's some people that were like...
Man, could you imagine being, like, one of those people that's in the group that's, like, intentionally matched up knowing it's going to fuck up? Like, oh, that would be the worst. Like, oh, I just got married to this person I've never met, and these people knew it was going to fail miserably.
Yeah. Yes. Awful. Yeah. Oof. But then there's some really cute ones that they're dead on about, so I don't know.
Right on.
I don't know. But I'm not proud of that. That's not a proud point of my life.
Hey, man.
You own it. At least I don't watch The Bachelor, so.
Fair enough.
What's wrong with that?
I used to hate watch The Bachelor, and then I decided that was still giving them ratings, so I stopped.
Love at First Sight was...
That was a tragedy.
That was like Jersey Shore.
Yeah,
I like watching shows like that, but on YouTube, like all the highlights.
Yeah,
I just skip all the bullshit.
See, my guilty pleasure that I'm not proud of is following like spoiler people who like break down how the show was actually recorded, like talk about all the shit the producers did to the contestants and stuff.
Me and Randy got
producers trying to make it interesting.
It's,
that's
yeah,
for sure.
That yeah.
Me and Randy got into that maybe like 3 episodes ago. I was asking him like he got his take on the anime show on Netflix. What is it called?
Which one?
The Airbender, but the other one.
Oh, Avatar. What, Legend of Korra?
That one. So he got some other stuff out of that book show. And I was asking him, like, was that your perspective or was that what the intention of the directors was? He's like, I don't give a shit what the director's intention was.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like you enjoy that type of stuff.
Yeah. So there's a famous blogger at this point named Reality Steve that I've read for a long time because he actually like, he doesn't hate the Bachelor franchise, but his whole goal is to like break down what's actually going on. And it's a super
racist,
super sexist franchise.
I'm gonna tell you right now, a lot of those people who are filming are annoying as fuck.
I believe
you're not supposed to talk to them or look at them, but like some of them you're friends with, some of them you're like cool with, and then others are like annoying as fuck.
Well,
like,
so
you lived it.
One time I was cutting weight for the semi-final fight, and if I would not have made weight for this fight, I would not have won the Ultimate Fighter. I wouldn't have went to the finale, and they were trying to be in, they wanted to be in the bathroom with me while I was cutting weight, filming me, and I was like,
this is my life, bro.
Yeah, but like I was like, I had to cut weight like twice in like 2 weeks. Jesus. Which is like really awful for your body. Yeah. And it's really hard for a woman as well.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And so I was having a hard time like getting the last 5 pounds off, and I was like, me and the weight cut specialist were like freaking out, and any sort of added stress will like completely like
it'll shock your body, right?
Yeah. And you will stop sweating or losing weight. And so we're like, can you guys please like just get out of the bathroom? To this point, you filled enough. I need to be able to lose this weight. And they like, the dude was like trying to stay in there. And like, finally, like, we were like, just get the fuck out.
If you want
me to fight today or tomorrow, like, you guys have to go. Mm. And so they tried to like leave a crack in the door and like film from across the hall, like zoom in on me and shit. Dude, I was like having a nosebleed and shit in the bath. It was really fucking bad. Damn. Like some of them just don't give a fuck, you know? And like it completely changed you. It like being in that setting can change like who you really are. And like also like perceive you as something awful.
You're not,
right, because they can paint you as whoever they want.
Yeah.
Well, so that's my.
We had a room called the confession room where we had to go like with producers and talk about stuff like in past, present, or future tense.
Mm.
And they would be like, "So, what do you think about this girl doing this?" And like they would like try to start shit to like in order to, they would ask you questions to make you say something that would completely change the whole dynamic.
Yeah, that's my understanding. And on those like dating shows, they They keep them super drunk all the time, and then they...
Oh, they, like, had Modelo, they, like, on tap.
They make you think that they're...
And they were like, what do you want? You want wine? You want whiskey? Yeah. Like, they
well,
would,
and they make you think
wanted,
that you're, like...
write it down. They would bring it the next day.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the sad thing is, like, it's both of your livelihoods. One of them for Hollywood. Another one for, like, the fighting.
Mm-hmm. They have to make it interesting, though. Right. Who wants to watch, like everyone being, like, super boring and, like, respectful?
Yeah.
They want to watch people being drunk and throwing shit. Like,
right. They want to see Rampage Jackson tear down a door.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to drop by.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
So
yeah.
fun.
Yeah. Should do it again.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so, great. All right, where can they find y'all on the social medias?
Well, we have an Instagram, Heavy Flow Podcast, and then all streaming platforms we're on. So check it out.
Our personal Instagram accounts are on Heavy Flow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So
you can find
and we'll tag all your information on the description. So.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys. Cool. This has
thank
been
you so
fun.
Much.
Oh, thank you.
We'll do it again.
Love it.
Peace out.
Perfect.
Bye.
Love y'all.